every time you feel like you cannot go on. You feel so lost and that you're so alone. All you see is night and darkness all around. You feel so helpless, you can't see which way to go. Don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Insha'Allah, insha'Allah, insha'Allah,
Rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers of IBN TV, and welcome to a brand new show of U-Turn. Today, we are going to be discussing a very important event in history that pertains today as well in our daily lives. We are talking about Quds Day, but before we get into the discussion and introduce our guests, we would like to take a look at the footage that we have recorded outside the studio.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. We are doing our interviews for the Quds Day U-Turn program. We over here, our first participant. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
May I ask you, what's your name, brother?
My name is Amir Kanji.
Okay. Brother Amir, the image that we have here is of two leaders in the Islamic world. Generally, the impression that people get when they look up at a person wearing a turban and a big beard is that, you know, it's the image of terrorism. So what do you think is our responsibility as youth to the outer world to not support this claim or to educate the people outside?
Okay, first things I would like to say is that although we have this concept in the world nowadays, what you call so-called modern age, that people normally think that these beards and all this just sign of terrorism and all this. So what I think is, firstly, mostly it's not like our fault, but it's lack of our own efforts to educate the people. There are very few people who actually know about what is Islam and what do people in Islam have the rule, what do people in Islam do. Like, for example, in our rules, in our Shariat, it is there that we, as for a man, he has to keep a beard. And if he's like educated, or like one of our leaders, which we see over here, he has a turban on. So I strongly believe that if we want to stop this claim, the first thing is that we have to educate the people. Because if we just start spreading awareness, like, you know, someone will come and tell us today that, you know, these people are terrorists. We can't just tell them that we are not terrorists. We need to prove it to them. So first, before we prove it to them, we need to educate them. By educating them, we need to tell them what is our Sharia tell us? What does this thing? For that, if they're able to understand it, that way they'll be able to respect us for who we are. And that will therefore remove the claim from these people.
I truly agree with what you said, that lack of knowledge sometimes creates problems that, you know, we need to clear out in the society. The second question that I have for you is regarding our responsibility as youths regarding Quds Day. A lot of oppression is going on in the world, but us as youths sitting in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, okay, and we see oppression going on in different parts of the world, such as Burma or Haiti or Palestine, okay? What do you think we as youths can do?
Honestly, what I feel, your question is very true. I believe that until now, what I feel that what as much as we do for the world, as much as we do for our religion, it's never enough. Therefore, whatever we can do, we have to try our best. Like one thing that we can do, and what we are doing at the moment, like the way we know that in Dar es Salaam, in our community, Shia community, we have a group of youths in which they run the debating society of Husseini Madrasa. Here, normally we see every year, normally just for the Quds Day, there's so much work done, so much effort put in to actually draw the attention of the world to what oppression is going on in the world. So by this, first, what we do is, the main aim is to spread awareness. And how do we spread awareness? Firstly is that we design t-shirts. T-shirts, when someone walks on the road and some random people or anybody just looks at the t-shirt, they will definitely get attracted to it. When they get attracted to it, the first thing they will want to do is read it. If you put something which is actually true and which is actually appealing to someone, they will definitely want to look at it. So now, for example, if we have these t-shirts, we have the keychains, we have the banners sometimes which we put, all these kinds of things. First thing we need to do is we just need to keep awareness. That's what the debating society does at first. We spread awareness. Out of that, when we spread awareness, our main motto is that we learn for the Almighty, we teach for the Almighty, and we serve for the Almighty. Here, when we are learning for the Almighty, first that we need to do is we need to learn more about our religion, more about Quds itself. If we learn about it, we are able to teach others. When we are able to teach others, that's when we'll be able to serve them. This is what I feel we are doing at the moment, and what we should carry on.
As you say that you are having different programs at the mosque and centers, but this is confined to our society only, our Khoja society. What do you think we can do for the whole Muslim world outside there? Because there are many Muslims who are being killed, many Muslims who are being oppressed, and many Muslims who want to have a say, but they can't have a say. So what can we do sitting in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and spreading the message towards everyone, not only Muslims, but to non-Muslims as well?
What I feel personally is that we need to spread awareness, like you said. So the first thing that we do is, this Friday on Quds, we will be going to the Mtoro Mosque here. And this is actually a place of learning for all Tanzanians. The thing is, look, that it's not that we can do everything in one day. It's like just a saying, we cannot drink all the ocean's water in one day. We can start slowly. So first we start with the community. Now we want to go out to the community. So now we want to spread the word to the Tanzanians. So this is what we do right now. We go to the Mtoro Mosque on Friday. We tell the people there what is Quds. We teach them what is Quds itself. Because people just hear that this is Quds. This is like, what is Quds itself? You find many people asking. Therefore, we will go there. We will need to tell them. We need to explain to them what is going on in the modern world right now. That's what I feel.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for agreeing to do this U-turn interview. Can you please introduce yourself?
Alaikum salam. My name is Muhammad Hussein Rashid.
The last Friday of Ramadan has been declared Quds Day by Imam Khomeini. What do you know about this?
Well, I do have some information about Quds Day. It's usually for the oppression going around the world. And our Ayatollahs and Murjahs have asked one specific day to remember all the people who are facing this oppression, and they've chosen it to be the last Friday of Ramadan.
So is Quds Day just for the oppressed Muslims around the world, or is it for the oppressed people?
I think it's for the oppressed people. But if you see nowadays, most of the oppressed people are Muslims. Bahrain, Syria, everywhere, you see Muslims being massacred, you know. So it's for all people, but Muslims in specific.
Now, do you think that others know about this as well?
Apart from us, our Jamaat Khoja, I don't think people really know about Quds Day. Because we have programs for ourselves. We have Imam Bargas, we have Quds Day programs. We give out flyers in our mosque. We do try to go out. But then the information going out is not enough. So I think there's a need. We need to give out more information to the Sunnis, to the Christians, to the Hindus, and all other people around.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for giving us your time for this U-turn interview. Can you please introduce yourself?
Wa alaikum salam. My name is Musaddiq Damji, and thank you for having me on the show.
As Muslims, we usually commemorate Quds Day in the month of Ramadan. What do you know about this occasion?
Well, a few years ago, I found out a few things about Quds Day. As a kid, I had no idea what Quds Day was. But growing up, I heard a lot about Quds Day from the community members, from friends, from my family, and I looked into it, and that's how I came to find out about Quds Day.
Did you find out about Quds Day through a special program, or was it through your own research?
Well, the first time, as a kid, I had no idea, but I had a cousin growing up who usually followed the news and everything about the murjas and about the Quds Day. And he introduced me, he explained to me basically what the Quds Day was and when it was introduced and why was it introduced and so forth.
So Quds Day is about showing our solidarity with all the oppressed people around the world. But us here in Tanzania, we are not being physically oppressed. So why should us as youth in Tanzania, why should we care about Quds?
Well, first of all, as Muslims, we should always be aware of how our other fellow Muslims are around the world. And that is not happening at the moment. I mean, although we are trying to aware ourselves about the situations, but we're not. We need to do a lot more than what we're doing right now.
So us being so far away from the area where the oppression is taking place, and most of us are not in a situation where we can move to the place and physically defend our brothers. So what should we do?
Create awareness. If we today, living so far away from the actual location of the oppression, if we are aware and we protest and talk against and unite against the oppression that's going on, then people all around the world, not just Muslims, even non-Muslims who have no idea of what actually going on, will be educated about the situation and will speak as well. So that's how we can change, bring a change.
This is Sayed Kazim, U-Turn, IBN TV.
So, like we saw in the footage that was recorded outside the studio, where we had different people talking about what they thought Quds Day means. Now, can you please introduce yourselves?
Hasnain Lalji, studying pharmacy at Aston University in Birmingham.
Taha Dharamsi, I represent Debating Society, a youth organization based in Dar es Salaam. We try to spread awareness about our Shia belief, and we recently launched a shirt on Quds Day that is sold in the mosque.
My name is Sumaya Karmali, and I'm getting into a foundation in science and pharmacy.
Thank you. My name is Sadika Jerj, and I'm currently studying biotechnology in Toronto.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, and inshallah we hope that we can shed some light on this issue and create awareness. At the same time, discuss some of the points that we have and possibly find a solution at least within our society here in Dar es Salaam. So before we get into the issue of talking about what is happening and what is the situation around the world for Muslims, how can we change it, what can we do ourselves to bring that change, can one of you or can we all introduce actually what Quds Day is and how it originated?
Quds Day was founded in 1979 by Imam Khomeini. It was an annual event to show our solidarity against our solidarity for Palestine and against Israel and their Zionist state.
Okay.
So this brought about a lot of unity amongst us Muslims.
That's true. So the question that we get asked a great deal is that why so much concern for Palestine? Why dedicate a whole day in the month of Ramadan for them and for the atrocities that are happening there? Can we discuss a little bit about that?
The reason that there's so much emphasis on Palestine is because the fact that Palestine itself has Masjid al-Aqsa, Bayt al-Maqdis, yes, is over there. So we have even prophetic traditions which say that, the history about it, yes, that there's so many prophets who have brought about their message, who have preached, yes, their message in the lands of, Palestine. Yes. So it has a historical basis as well. And in the contemporary side, we have the fact that because there's so much atrocities going on in Gaza right now, we hear all the time in the news that Palestine is always in the news. There's always deaths in Palestine. There's always injured children in Palestine. So because of that, because it has a historical basis and also a contemporary significance, I think that it is very important that, that's why there's so much emphasis on Palestine.
Emphasis on Palestine, yeah, definitely. And one of the Surah Bani Israel, which is also called Surah Isra, says that from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Holy Prophet took the journey. So it is definitely a blessed place. It is a place where our prophets have walked in the past. And in our discussion earlier, you also mentioned that it is a place and it is an area that it has utmost significance for a lot of religions, for Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So definitely, we should, in actual fact, have a lot of emphasis on doing something for them and for having a concern for them.
And it's not only Muslims whom we are standing against. The Bayt al-Maqdis shows importance for Christians,
yes,
and Jews also.
Yes.
So by standing up against oppression,
yes,
we're not only standing up against Muslims, but we're also defending on the Christianity,
yes,
and the Judaism side.
So we are defending.
So bring unity among the Abrahamic religions.
Definitely.
Stand up against oppression.
So we are not standing up only against the oppressors for Muslims. We are also standing up for other faiths as well. Yes.
And also the fact that Bayt al-Muqaddas, Masjid al-Aqsa, was a Qibla.
Yes.
So considering that part, that point. That is why we have a lot of concentration on Palestine.
Yes.
The Muslims are all around the world,
yes,
and they're all being oppressed.
Yes.
Places in Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Karachi, just name it. Our Muslims are being oppressed, and we're standing up for them.
Yes.
But mainly Palestine, because of the reasons that the sister of Sumayya and brother Sumayya have given, and also because it was Qibla once upon a time.
Yes, definitely. So when we are talking about this oppression that is happening in you know, all over the world, there tends to be less knowledge among us youth sometimes, because as somebody pointed out to me earlier, we are also oppressed. My discussion with Sister Sadiqa earlier, she was telling me that there tends to be a time that we also are oppressed, because we are sometimes under so many pressure that we don't, so much pressure that we don't even realize it. I also feel that we are under the oppression of social media, where we don't really stand up and say what we want to say because we are bogged down by these things. So there's definitely a need to go forth and, you know, break those shackles. But with regards to what you are saying, that there are so many places around the world, can we enlighten the viewers a little bit about some of these situations around the world?
A good example is Syria. Syria was a peaceful place until a year ago. Within a year, so much change has taken place that the most peaceful place, one of the peaceful places in the world, has become the most dangerous places now. And actually, the terrorists are not yet known 100% from where do they originate. Reports show that they originate from outside in the bordering areas such as Turkey and Jordan. But still the awareness is not there, and not everything that happened in Syria is in the news.
I think that it is also this whole Islamic awakening that is happening globally. The fact that there's so many different countries, like for example right now Bahrain is a good example. The major population is Shia, but you see that all of them have come together, Shia and Sunni, and they're standing up against their government. Also you see, like in Saudi Arabia right now, it was otherwise really oppressive government, but now you have people coming out, have the courage, because of what they're seeing happening around the world, now they have that courage inside of them to actually come out to the streets and say that they're actually being oppressed, so that people around the world actually understand what is actually happening to them. And then you have Pakistan as well, where you have, like, even calling yourself a Shia, being a lover of the Ahlul Bayt, you know, if you have the name of Ali or Hassan or Hussein, they just, like, you know, martyr, they kill you at, like, that same instant.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that there is really there is so many oppressive regimes around the world, and because of these few countries that have come out, slowly the other countries that are also being oppressed, they also have the courage inside of them to come out to the streets and, you know, stand up for themselves.
Sometimes I feel like how Islam has been degraded. We're being called terrorists, different names are being given to us. Let's take an example of Burma. The monks there are killing the Rohingyas, right? They're a minority Muslims and they're being killed without no reason. So we can't say that we're going to blame Buddhism, because Buddhism is known for its peace, it's known for its spiritual upliftment.
Yeah.
So we can't put a religion into stake, because all these religions, there's no religion that supports oppression. They all are against oppression.
Yes.
Also coming to the point of the fitrah, Allah has given us this nature inside,
yes,
us,
yes,
that we need to stand up for oppression.
Yes.
Considering that point, I think we should not put down or any religion down,
yes,
but it comes from the people
themselves. What about the point that you were talking about, where the youth also are oppressed? Would you like to expand on that?
Well, I feel that this is the way we're discussing, that youths in different aspects of life,
yes,
example drugs, our youths are much,
yes,
involved in drugs.
Yeah.
That's an oppression. That's
a
straight oppression on ourselves.
Yes.
We need to stand up for it,
yes,
spread awareness.
Yes.
You know, talk about it,
yes,
like the way we're using this IBN TV to spread the message around.
Yes.
So yes, we use our own oppression, and that's why the Quds Day is so important. It's not,
yes,
only for the people of Palestine or only,
yes,
the Muslims. We're standing up for justice. We're standing,
yes,
for the people who are oppressed.
Definitely. And with regards to this issue where we see different parts of the world, non-Muslims, well, let me not put it that way, Muslims are being oppressed, but even within the Islamic faith, certain schools of thought are oppressed. When it comes to the issue of Palestine, it is definitely the area that it is located in. It is from the origin of Hanbali and Shafi'i schools that we get from Sayyid Ammar's lecture in Ramadan of 2009, if you'd like to check it out. And he says that despite of that, people around the world will still support it. The Quds Day itself was brought about by Imam Khomeini, who maybe not from that school of thought, still thought that it was so important to talk about those atrocities because they were going through that much trouble, because they had those many tribulations. So when it comes to linking it to this, you're saying fitrah, it is definitely inborn in us that we will feel pain for these people, whether they are Muslim, like you said, or non-Muslim. And would you like to add to that, where you were talking about the ummah at large?
Okay, so I was saying that even in the Quran it says, you know, fa'tasim bihablillah, so hold on to the rope of Allah and do not disunite, okay? So this shows us that, you know, we might have different sects, but when it comes to like oppression and justice, you know, we have to become the Musa of our time, you know? Yeah. These oppressors are the Fir'auns. We hear from Sheikh Jafar Nadek's lectures in this month. So he said that, you know, we have to become the Musas of our time and stand up against the oppression, the oppressive governments, which are the Fir'aun of this time.
To add up to Sister Sumaya, there's a saying that says that if one part of your body is hurt, the other parts also are hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
Same way, if a Muslim is hurt, it directly affects us.
Definitely.
But just that I think we need to realize that
that
people are being oppressed and we need to stand up for them.
Yes.
That is why there's a lot of importance, at least once a year, actually it should be happening all the time, to create more awareness.
Yes.
But just directly, the way one part of the body, you know, affects the other part of the body, same way one Muslim being oppressed is a direct oppression to us.
Just adding to the point that about the fitrah of a human being, it is among the fitrah of a human being that not only if a Muslim is oppressed, but if any human is oppressed, all the human beings feel around him.
Yes.
And a human can also reach such a state either to go along with his fitrah or oppress his fitrah.
Definitely.
And that's the reason, if you oppress your fitrah, the oppression is taking place in other places of the world. Tomorrow it may be your turn. What would you expect?
Yes.
What if people are silent and don't spread awareness about you as a human being oppressed?
Definitely.
But that's basically creating, the Quds Day basically is creating a unity amongst the human race. Not only Muslim, but all human beings at large.
And I think the fact that that was raised, I think it shows that, you know, that this Quds Day is where all Muslims, everyone unites under the banner of, you know, justice.
Definitely.
So basically what it is that anyone would expect, like any person from any sect would expect anyone else, if the person is being oppressed, he would expect other people to stand up for him. And so it works that way, you know, it's just how humanity is, like, you know, we care for each other. And so it just...
So to add on these points that the three of you have said, that there is a saying of the Holy Prophet that if you wake up not knowing the affairs of your Muslim brothers, you are not a Muslim. That goes out to show that do not oppress that fitrah that you have. Because today, you and I have a voice. We have cameras in front of us that are recording what we are talking for the people of Palestine, for the people of Burma, for the people of Saudi Arabia, for the people of Mexico. They don't have a voice. They don't. Their voice is shut down. The governments there don't let them talk. Media block it, like you were saying. It doesn't let the message reach across. But we have a voice. So I think our responsibility is even double and triple. If you would like to expand on the saying that is on your T-shirt.
First, let me say the saying. It is, if every Muslim were to pour one bucket of water on Zionism, there would be a flood to wash away Zionism.
Yes.
So this would be that if every one of us would even try and bring some awareness, if all the Muslims around the world, the fastest growing religion in the world, if we all went against Zionism, of course the state of Israel would be vanished.
Yes. I think let's take this point to ask ourselves. For example, me, Sakina Hassan Ali, throughout the year, and this is, I think we should try and reflect to ourselves, throughout the year, how many hours do I spend spreading the message of Islam and spreading the message that there are states out there who are in oppression? As viewers, how many hours in a day or how many hours in a year do you spend? Like, think about it actually. And see, let me think about it as well. Of course, my education is definitely important. My family is important. My prayers are important. things I should have a social life. But when we think about our purpose in life and what we are going towards, I think it's important that we ask ourselves that when we are looking at the purpose of our life, how much time do we spend for these oppressed people? Now that we've established that all of us have a responsibility. So inshallah, let's hope that we can all do that ourselves and the viewers as well.
Sakina, what you're saying is very correct, because we're part of the society, friends, social media, Facebook. So why not spread the message through Facebook? Because I was talking to one of the lecturers, and she said that us youths are mostly involved in Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Why can't we be there if you see someone's status going up? Yes. We are the ones to comment on it.
Yes.
If there's any lecture going on, why aren't we the ones to comment
propagate
on it?
Propagate, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or also in the discussion of friends, when all the friends are sitting, because that's part of it.
Yes.
You don't need to take out time for it. This should be part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And just as I heard, also on the table, dining table, where the family is sitting, why not talk about... why not talk about news? Why don't not talk about the Muslims out there? As you say, that the Prophet said, when a Muslim gets up in the morning and he does not know the affairs of other Muslims, is not from us. So if you're not from the Prophet, then where do we stand? If we're not there to, support our Muslim brothers and sisters, then where do we stand? When Imam comes, are we really going to be able to answer him? If we do not answer him now, answer the call?
I think now we have come to the point where we need to talk about what can we do, because that is where the discussion, I feel, is going. As youth, especially, because all of us sitting here are youth, what can we do? Where do we start? What are some of the things that we need to keep in mind when we are, let's say, being active with regards to Quds Day?
No, the first important point, there are two important points. The first thing is to unite, to do everything whenever we have a difference, not between Muslims, but also between individuals. We should look at the common grounds rather than looking at the differences. So that brings unity within people. And the other thing is, as an individual, you should pave the way. Because normally the human state, general human state right now, is if someone does something, we say that, look, this person stood up against oppression. This person stood up against this. Though he may be a non-Muslim, why don't we pave the way? We should do something and pave the way for others to do something following us, rather than putting the priority from learning from others for what they are doing against oppression. We should come up with something for which we should pave the way for others.
So what we can maybe do is, as an advice to the viewers and ourselves as well, that when we are looking at the situation going around in the world, and where we see Muslims and other people oppressed, what is it that affects us the most? Because all of us here, alhamdulillah, have some talent or the other. Some of us can write, some of us like to speak, some of us are good at science, some of us are good at art. We should use those capabilities that we have, look at what affects us the most about that situation, and I'm sure that we can bring something unique to the table. Would you like to add to that?
The point that everyone has something in them, we should use what we are best at. So say I'm best at computers, so do something with computers to help the people of Palestine. Make a website.
Yes.
Make something like a donation drive.
Yes.
Or if you're good at art, make a poster. And slowly, if you go to see that Bahrain, the revolution was brought up by just media.
Yes.
One guy was good in computers, he brought about a good revolution, he brought about all the youth, and they slowly started to think what is happening. And that happened all through Facebook.
Yes, that's true.
So whatever we're good at, we should use that to spread the word.
Definitely, because there's a lot of need that the awareness is important. We need to look at the different media and we need to find out the information about ourselves. We need to be well versed in what's going on. In a recent video, YouTube video that Lauren Booth is giving a speech in the United States, she talks about a boy called Faris Odeh. And do we all know who Anne Frank is? Diary of Anne Frank. Do we know who Faris Odeh is? I didn't know when I heard the speech. He's the boy who stood with a rock in front of an Israeli tank. And he said that if today I have this rock, all I have is this rock, but because I have this rock, you are not going to enter and hurt my sisters and mothers and aunts. And 10 days later, he was obviously shot dead. But we don't even know that. Being Muslims, I don't know that. I was so ashamed that I heard that in another speech. Because do we actively sought to look at different, do we have that zeal that, okay, now what is happening? Now what is the situation? Now let's follow what is happening. Now let's friend this person. Let's find out. Let's be more active. I think we should try and do that. Would you like to add to that?
I think since we're talking about the things that we can do, it is important that we export the concept of, you know, the Mahdiism.
Yes.
The fact that there is an awaited savior who is going to come and establish justice on this
yes.
earth, who is going to be there for the oppressed, who is going to... And we have the perfect role models, to be honest, because like we see that the whole revolution of Imam al-Hussein, it was against the oppressors.
Yes.
The mission of him was to stand up against... He went for وَأَمَرْتَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَيْتَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ,
yes.
enjoin good and forbid evil.
Yes.
So his main aim was to bring justice. And
yes.
I think because we have such good role models, we need to take message from them and learn from them,
mm-hmm.
instead of just letting, you know, we sit in Muharram and we cry and we do all these things. But this needs to affect us. Like,
yes.
you know, everything that is happening around the world, it needs to hurt us in to such an extent that, you know, we're ready to do something about it,
yes.
to, you know, move to the next step. And I think that people, once they get used to the idea of, you know, a human savior who is
yes.
going to come and, you know, defend them and
yes.
and be there for them, you know,
yes.
and be their voice,
yes.
I think that everyone would, you know, call on to that human savior.
Definitely.
And inshallah, we would see that Imam Zaman would inshallah appear much sooner than, you know, he
inshallah.
Would otherwise, you
yes.
know.
To go a little bit back, mm-hmm. we are discussing what us youth can do and the fact that we are not that aware or that we don't seek out that knowledge ourselves, the way we seek out other things, the way we are excited and passionate about other things, maybe we are not about. Maybe inshallah we can change this after this Quds day.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we ask Allah in Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq, if I correctly remember, is that let my intentions be the best of intentions,
mm-hmm.
let my work be the best of works.
Mm-hmm.
So it is natural that in this day and age we get sidetracked,
mm-hmm.
and that we get pulled in and sucked in into these things.
Mm-hmm.
But inshallah we ask Allah through this dua and in this month,
mm-hmm.
that He gives us that ma'rifah and that tawfiq, that we actually, our hearts open,
mm-hmm.
inshallah, and that we actually feel pain for these people,
mm-hmm.
and we are given that strength and that courage to do something for them.
You know, in the Quran, in Surah Najm, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it says, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَى. For man, it is only that for which he strives or for which he struggles. So if you look at this ayat, see, Islam is not based on the output, but in the struggle to get the output.
Yes.
Like a couple of
Definitely.
YouTube videos, if you search, you see Bahraini youths.
Yes.
They're holding you know, fire rocks and they're trying to throw at the oppressors.
Yes.
Well, they might be killed, but the struggle to
yes.
to stand up against the oppressor
yes.
is important.
Definitely.
Just the way Quran says
yes.
that Allah is not looking at the output; He looks at your intention
Definitely.
And the struggle to stand up Definitely. To stand up for the oppressors.
A few years ago, when Sheikh Al-Ladina had just come to Dar es Salaam, he was describing that who won actually in Karbala. How many of Imam Hussein's army died? Almost all of them. And how many of Yazid's army died? A lesser number. But at the end of the day, look at Husseiniyat and look at Yazidiyat today. All these years, thousands of years later, who do we celebrate? Who do we commemorate? Who are we proud of? Who is it that when we listen to his name, we shine up with pride? And that in Muharram, whatever part of the world we are in, we wear black and we say that, you know what, I'm mourning for my Imam and I'm proud of what happened in Karbala. His whole army that passed, died, was martyred. His son was martyred. Even though all of them... all of them were gone. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, with your point, it was about the struggle at the end of the day. It was about that message that he said, I am never going to bow down to Yazid. Even if you kill my whole family, I will sacrifice for Islam. So I think that's a very good point that she has brought about, that we can, inshallah, try.
Also, to add up with that, it's not only about minority or majority. the minority, that's the way you gave the example of Imam Hussein. They were a minority, but
yes.
they won, right?
Yes.
Same way, in Palestine, we're not standing up for them because they are a minority or majority or them.
Yes.
We're standing up for them because they are
right.
If the other, if anybody else was right, then we would have stood up for them. So that's the important, that we're not standing up for the majority or minority or any different sex. We're standing up for the right, though, you know, because these are the people who have been snatched away from their rights,
yes.
and that's what we're standing up for.
Definitely. And I think there's also that saying where, you know, if you silence is a war crime. That's his display picture on Facebook. That silence is a war crime. That if you are not on this side or on that side, if you just keep quiet, that is also so that you're doing something wrong. Would you like to add to this?
This is very true, because once you're silent, no one knows about it, and the atrocities will still go on. So once we start bringing up awareness, like such as Bahrain, we never knew like 5-6 years ago what's happening
there. Yeah,
but slowly the people took the initiative
yes.
to bring awareness, and even we got that awareness, and we are now spreading the word.
Yes.
So if you're silent, it is a war crime.
Even in Zayat Ashur, we recite that, you know, we send la'an on the people who heard about the tragedy of Karbala but remained silent about it. So it shows that, you know, it's important that when we see this stuff happening
yes.
around us, that we actually have a voice. Like, we see that non-Muslims were inspired by this
yes.
tragedy of Imam Hussein. Like, Mahatma Gandhi came
yes.
out and said that, "I learned how to achieve victory while being oppressed through Hussein," you know?
Yes.
And he took 72 on his salt march because he wanted his 72 to be eternal as Imam Hussein's 72.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, this kind of shows that, you know, remaining silent is not the solution. And if we, you know, a little bit of voice, you might think that it doesn't matter that much, a Facebook post or, you know, a Twitter message, or
yes.
you might think that it doesn't matter, but, you know, like you again said, that it's all about the struggle to get there. So inshallah, that even a little is, you know, appreciated. And
definitely.
And we should also learn from the enemy, because they are strong at certain aspects which we are weak.
Mm.
Not we are weak because circumstances, because we want to be weak. Why don't we use, let's say, our knowledge? Like, I'm a pharmacist. What I can think about the future, I'm still studying, but in the future I may create a drug or a tablet which its originality may be exported to Palestine to help the people. Like, I as an individual can go to Palestine and provide first aid service to the people.
Yes.
And the other thing is, we should raise awareness about media blockade.
Definitely.
Not everything which is heard is true, and not everything is being displayed as
yes.
it has to be displayed.
Yes.
So, like, we should basically increase our knowledge about the media.
Definitely.
Why is there a blockade? And how should we try to remove the blockade?
Yes.
Let's say about Bahrain. Nothing, like in channels like CNN, BBC, nothing was coming about Bahrain until
yes.
when one of the news agents went there and maybe got tortured or maybe got caught by the Saudi people. That's when they raise awareness. It's like selfishness. You see, the oppressor has two qualities. One, he's a coward. Another thing, he's selfish in nature. Though outwardly he may be giving, he may be helping people, but inwardly he's selfish. If we learn about these two qualities about the oppressor, we can have the power to overcome the oppressor. Like cowardness, the oppressor is a coward, so we should not be cowards. We should go ahead and spread the message, even if we are bogged down. If you are bogged down, it doesn't mean your voice does not make a difference. You may be bogged down by one person, but another person may look at that attribute of being bogged down as that attribute of paving the way to end oppression. So we should be strong. And the other thing is selfishness. The education, academics, sports make us so busy that we become selfish. What will this be useful for me? We don't look at the other side of the coin, as what will this particular event be useful for others before the advantage reaches to me, it should reach to others.
Definitely. Regarding your point about media blockade, I was listening to a question-answer session with Sayyid Ammar, and he was talking about, I think the question that somebody posed to him was, it was regarding the Mahdi and the coming of the Mahdi and some certain media source. And he stopped the question-answer session. He said, how many of us actually seek out to study the media actively? How many of us are into other fields, and how many of us actually, not even in the field, actually support it? And there was only two people who raised their hands. And he said that's why that when these issues happened, for that week and a half that, for example, a bomb has hit Bahrain or a bomb has hit Palestine, other media sources have bogged us down, have thrashed Muslims, have called us terrorists, and that's what's out there. And then a week and a half later, the few media, like Muslim journalists that we have, then, you know, because when you have the whole system that is corrupted and it is has less Muslims in it, then obviously you will never find the true message reaching. But if you have more people who are, you know, spreading that message, obviously it'll reach faster. Obviously our message will reach the public at the same time as the message of the enemy, of the oppressor. So for example, Press TV, it is doing an amazing job spreading these words. Regarding Myanmar and the situation in Burma, they were saying that this is what's happening, and they interviewed someone over there, and they said, you know, there's a surprise that there's still no information regarding this issue and regarding these problems from Western media. Why? Same with Bahrain. When I was in the US, I did not know anything that is going on. Every time the cafeteria television would be on, and BBC, CNN, and all these other news networks would be on, but I did not know what was happening. Forget even having the idea that something is going on, even with the other party. I did not know anything. But then after speaking to people at home, here in Tanzania, and we think that we are less developed, we know what is happening in the world more. So our youth here, we have a lot of responsibility.
And another thing, we should make use of what Islam has prescribed us. You see, just taking an example of women, they are being prescribed hijab. Why did Islam prescribe hijab? Because maybe women have the power of speech more than men, some women. So we should make the use of hijab. Because let's say if a CNN officer is not a Muslim, or a CNN journalist, he can't go to that depth in media issues or looking at what's actually the situation. But we as Muslims, we have the weapon of hijab, which makes us go to the depth of the situation, because hijab protects us. We should make use of the protection and go ahead and see what the actual situation is, and as Sakina said, to specialize in journalism and media. That's one of the most important things.
I think since we're talking about, you know, misconceptions of the media, we would say that, you know, there's a difference between Zionism and Judaism. It's actually two different things. Zionism is actually an ideology which says that, you know, they are the chosen people, and they're very racist ideology. So just like the apartheid in, you know, South Africa, yes, or all these other things there, that, you know, we stood up against, Zionism is also something that we stand up against, not the Jews.
Definitely. Yeah. It's important that we make that distinction, because since like you said, we are talking about the Western media, and we are talking about how the message of Islam is sometimes distorted. And that is an oppression towards Islam as well. If you today tell me that because you're wearing a hijab, you are a terrorist, that you're oppressing me, obviously. And I have to stand up and tell you, you know what? No, my hijab is a weapon for me. It is my strength. And it is not because it doesn't mean that I'm a terrorist. Stop being racist.
Okay.
I think it's important to say that.
And adding to the media blockade, I would like to raise an ayat of the Quran, Surah Hujurat, verse number 6. It says, when a fasiq comes towards you with a certain piece of news, don't believe it, analyze it first. It means that we should not believe everything which we hear from anyone. We should analyze it first. And the other thing is, like, I was recently in Birmingham during my holidays, and it was when the Olympic torch was coming to Birmingham. Everyone was celebrating, but it was to my utmost regret that I saw a Christian lady giving out flyers spreading about the second coming of Jesus Christ. She actually researched about Zionism and gave a good example that though there are technological advancements taking place, scientific advancements taking place, but some of the scientific advancements are to the benefit of the Zionism, where their motive is to make the population of the world less. And therefore, she raised an idea about the global vaccine, which is going to be announced very soon. She said, we have to be aware. They will say that the global vaccine prevents all the diseases, but the actual motive is to kill people with that vaccine. You see, again, to the concept of Mahdiism, Christians go far ahead, give out letters free to everybody. They say, look, this is the coming of the second coming of Jesus Christ. How much of me, talk about myself, how much do I spread the concept of Mahdiism and look at the objectives of Zionism? The objectives of Zionism are quite hypocritical, as I would say. After reading that letter, I came to know that not every medicine, not every drug, not every vaccine prevents you from a certain disease. There can also be a secondary cause to it, because it is the same Zionists taking people to the idea that it's a global crunch. The idea of the global crunch might not be true. It might be stopping people from spending in certain areas which is harmful to them or which will break their backs. So that's why they're bringing the idea of the global crunch. And they're saying about medicine, this drug, that drug. Okay, drugs may be useful, but not all drugs are useful. It may be, some drugs may be used to kill people, to reduce population, so that they can rule over the minority.
Thank you so much for that. I think that just calls out to how much aware we need to be and how much we need to read more and create awareness. If we have some more concluding points from all of you, and I think we can, inshallah, end with the concept of Mahdiism and Imam Mahdi when he comes and our responsibility towards him.
Okay. So I would say that the importance of standing up for the oppressed people is really emphasized in the religion of Islam. Like we see that Imam Ali, even in his last will to Imam Hassan, he says, out of all the things that he mentions, he makes sure that he mentions, you know, that you stand up for the oppressors, you know, and stand against, you know, the oppressors. So it kind of shows that this religion is actually a very peaceful religion. So this religion of Islam is actually a very peaceful religion, which promotes justice and which promotes standing up against the oppressors. And I think that we need to take this message down and spread this message with the voices that we actually have.
Would you like to add to that?
For the saying, 341 in Nahjul Balagha by Imam Ali, it says that the day of justice for the oppressor that will be more severe than the day of oppression for the oppressed done by the oppressor.
Yes.
So, the day of justice, as we know, the Day of Judgment will be very harsh for these oppressors. And also, I was once reading this poster. It was like the world's achievements. Nazism, we stopped it. Apartheid, we stopped it. We must stop Zionism. It is worse than the Nazis.
And another thing I would like to add is we should contemplate, not only the translation, read the tafsir of Surah An-Nasr, which says, "Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath." Remember the day when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, and it will be a day for victory for the oppressed. Why shouldn't we contribute something which will enhance the nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down? And we should not take a neutral stand, because when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, we should either be on the right side or on the wrong side. Why shouldn't we do a bit for oppression? If we can't do a lot, just do a bit for oppression. So that you should be on the side of the oppressed and be happy when the Nasr of Allah will come, that is the 12th Imam, rather than being silent and not knowing what to do. So maybe when the 12th Imam will come, you might be on the opposite side.
Yes.
Would you like to add to that?
And silence is a tool which an oppressor uses to continue oppression. Because he says, no one is saying anything, oh, let me do whatever I want to do. So if the whole world gives a voice, that's when Zionism will be washed away. And another thing, I want to stress again on the unity of the Muslims. We should not, as Imam Khomeini said, Muslims think that whether they should pray their hands crossed or straight, they debate on it, but the enemies are chopping off our hands. So we should contemplate on this saying and look at the common grounds between Muslims rather than looking at the differences. This, by looking at the common grounds, we will make the Quds Day to be even more useful and even more productive.
Definitely. Thank you so much for that.
To add up to this, just Imam Hussein, he posed the question, Hal bin Nasir yansurna, hal min mughithi yughithuna. Is there any helper to help us? Is there any rescuer to rescue us? When you think about it, this is probably a question for us to answer.
Definitely.
This is the call for us. Because as we know that Imam, we're trying to call Imam Zamana, Al Ajal, come Imam Zamana, come fast, come for our rescue. So are we also answering the question? These are the oppressors, and they are trying to call us for our help. Are we there to answer this question? This Imam Hussein's question really reflects back to us, the youths of today and the generation of today. Are we ready to answer his call? When Imam comes, are we going to be ready to say labbaik to him?
Yes, that's very true. I think there's a saying on the notice board in the mosque, not a saying, a poem, and there's one line from there that says, do not be surprised if your Hussein is calling you in Bahrain, and you are silent, and you are not saying anything. So inshallah, let's hope that through this small, yet very effective talk show that we've had today for the viewers, it is effective, and we can bring about at least some change, and that we are able to answer the call of Hal min Nasir yansurna through with our strength, and call and answer the call of Imam Zamana as well. So before we close the show, let's take a look at a few more clips and see what these clips have to show us.
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
شو احنا نايمين يا رب.
ايوه
لا احنا سمعنا صوت ودب صوت عالي، احنا طلعنا انا واخواتي وما لقيناش بابا، لقيناه مرمي وكله دم. لما اخواتي لما يروحوا يشوفوا الاسعاف وانا ضليتني عن بابا وخبطوا كمان دبة ان انا اتصوبت.
وابوك استشهد يعني؟
مش عارفة.
واخوتي فين منك وهذا؟
ما شفتهم مش راح يجيبوا الاسعاف، بعدين ما شفتهم مش ولا مرة.
ايش بتقولي؟
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وين امها؟ وين امها؟ وين امها؟ ان شاء الله
سمعنا. وزعت اللي خاف.
حطها حطها حطها. هي صافي. خير من الله. افتح الباب افتح. افتح
الباب. الله يرحمك. الله يرحمك يا يسوع.
هذا اطلاق نار عن قرب. اعدام اطلاق نار عن قرب. اطفال اطلاق نار عن قرب. متعمد قتل مع سبق الاصرار والترصد. قتل مع
خلاص. هات الجزيره، هات كل الصحافه. ايوه ما يحاكي.
لا 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 مش هيك. لا 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 ليش ما شفتهم؟ بسم الله.
ابعد عن
الله.
For you, they were definitely beneficial to us as well. Thank you.
So alone, all you see is night and darkness all around. You feel so helpless, you can't see which way to go. Don't despair and never lose hope, 'cause Allah is always by your side. Inshallah, inshallah. Inshallah, inshallah.